about God, where are you? We're going to talk about suffering, whether we thrive or whether we survive. 6 years ago last month, I limped onto a plane bound for Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to attend my first John Maxwell team conference. I had no idea what I was going to experience. All that I knew was that I was basically struggling to survive moment by moment. Through the kindness of God, I met a pastor online in a church near the training in West Palm Beach, who I'm good friends with now. He knew of my situation and extended a hand of grace to me and provided me with a condo to stay in free of charge while I was there. We had arranged that I would meet him when I arrived in Palm Beach at a certain Starbucks. And he would give me the keys and he would take me to where the condo was and then he would be gone. I had lost 30 pounds since December and my heart was broken. My mind was in turmoil. And to make matters worse, I was traveling on my birthday. When David arrived at the Starbucks, I asked him if he had plans for dinner. He said no. I kindly asked him, or I basically begged him, if he didn't have any plans, would he have dinner with me? I said to him, this is my birthday and I don't want to be alone, so would you take me to the best seafood place in town and dinner's on me? He gladly agreed and off we went to a restaurant that would become one of my most favorite restaurants since that evening. And while we were having dinner, he asked me how I was doing and he listened intently to me, understanding the suffering that I was stuck in the middle of. And as we talked, he asked me what my plan was for the next few weeks and months. And I said to him, right now, I'm barely surviving, but soon I want to thrive again. He put his hand on my shoulder in the middle of this very, very busy restaurant. And he asked me if he could pray with me. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. When you're in a bad place and someone offers to pray for you, what do you say? Absolutely. When you're suffering, you will take any help that you can get. And you know, friends, I can't remember the context or even the content of what he said in his prayer for me. But I do remember how I felt. And that I had visioned and verbalized a vision of my future. You see, when you're suffering, you never think your life is going to get better again. But I'm here to give you hope. Life will get better. However, there's some things that you need to do. And I'll get that to in a moment. But let's stand together, as you know. I'd like to stand as we read God's word. And I invite you to read it with me. This is our text for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If you are treated well, given a helping hand, an encouraging word, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see you're just willing to endure the hard times, as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it. No doubt about it. Father, this is your word. I pray that you would make it come alive and that you would touch our lives through the truth of these words today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as we discovered last week, we started studying this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we talked about how to go down, how to maneuver a difficult path. And I shared with you four things: that we needed to partner with someone who knew our experience. So we need a hand. We need to acknowledge that this is new territory to us and that it's hard. And that we need to trust God. And that's for his help. And that we need to help others find hope. Soon you're going to learn that everything I do stands for an acrostic. Today we're going to look at the hand and see what God has for us today. I want to talk about trials, suffering, surviving, or survival. Turn to your neighbor and say to them this morning, this is going to give you hope. Will you do that? Now turn back to them and say, it looks like you could use some hope. How many of you here this morning have had experiences of suffering or injustice in your life? Put up your hand. We all have. Pardon me? Don't just a few of you? Are you? Boy, I'm starting to compare you to the first service a lot. We all have, haven't we? This is not in your outline, but I have a sentence that has been an anchor during the most difficult times in my life. Would you like to know it? Yes, Bob. Then I'll give it to you, and I'll explain why it's so important to our lives during our trials and our suffering. Here's what it is. Write it down, please. It's not what happens to you, but in you that counts. It's not what happens to you. It's what happens in you that counts. How many of you, like me, like to have anything under control? Some of you need to put both hands up. Friends, there is so very little you have control over. What happens to you is many times out of your control. What someone says about you, how the economy grows or goes, who are your parents, how to control the weather, you don't control it. But here's what I know for sure, that if you're trying to find a way out of pain or trials, know this. You have no control over what happens to you, but you always have control over how you respond to those circumstances. What I've learned is that how we respond to a problem sometimes makes it a bigger problem. So this morning I'm going to give you four things that you can do to help yourself go through a difficult time or experience. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not in the midst of a problem, you need this message too. Because you can take notes and then you can have a leg up on the rest of us who've had to learn this in the midst of pain. All right? Ready to go? All right, number one, healing is a choice you make. When bad things happen to people, there are basically two reactions, to either act like a victim or act like a victor. And when I'm working with businesses, I teach a lesson called the thin line separating success and failure. It's a powerful lesson that usually liberates people from playing the victim card. You see, there's a story in the Gospel of John of a man who for 38 years, he got up every morning and someone took him beside the pool of Bethesda. And waiting for those pools to stir, whoever jumped in the water first would get healed. And day after day, he would go trying to find healing. And every day he sat by the water, his hope, his healing. And every time the water stirred, someone would beat him in. I imagine that his expectations began to wane, just like maybe yours have this morning. Each Sunday you come to church knowing in your mind that you will hear the good news. You understand that God can heal, that God can change your life. There is a little hope, but the waters stir and it seems like God passes you by. Has coming to worship become such a weekly event where you are physically present, but spiritually you're just as parched as a dried up river? For 13,870 days, he came hoping for a chance to take a dip. But he never got a chance until Jesus comes. He did play the victim card at the beginning. He said, "No one is ever around to help me. No one takes the time to consider my needs." You see, many people use the victim card and say, "There is no use. I'm doomed to be an invalid." He didn't choose to be crippled. But he got up every morning making his way to the pool. Maybe, just maybe, today could be my day. But I think that he may have just been like us. And when God doesn't answer our prayers for healing after a while, we just quit. Until Jesus comes along. This morning you came to church feeling perhaps just like this man in this story. You came to the pool, you came to church, but rather than come, it seems that someone else gets always in the water in front of you. And they hear from God, and they experience God. But God passes you by. You leave disappointed, discouraged, and deduct that there's You know, there's not much you can do. This is your lot in life. And there's nothing you can do to change it until Jesus comes along. On this day, he came along. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 5. When Jesus saw him there, he asked the invalid, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, one of the things you have to do when you read the scriptures is you've got to get right in there. You've got to think like the invalid. Can you imagine standing? You've been there how many years? 38 years. You've come and you've sat beside the pool wanting to get into the pool. And then Jesus comes by and he asks you this question, "Do you want to get healed?" What do you think the guy's going to say? "Of course I do." The sick man answers, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. And by the time I get there, somebody else is already in." So what does Jesus do? He speaks. "Get up, take your bedroll, start walking." And the man was healed on the spot. And he picked up his bedroll and he walked off. Do you see it? People have said to you that if you want to be healed, just go to church. Go lay by the pool. Hope it's your time. The healing is not in coming to church. The healing is coming to Jesus and confessing that you are choosing to participate in the healing. I mean, look at the details of this story, folks. His feet never even got wet, and he was healed. Jesus will come to us in unexpected ways to accomplish his healing work in our life. Trust him to help you. But you also have to make a decision to take responsibility for your life and make the right choices. Legendary UCLA coach John Wooden said this, it's in your notes, "There is a choice that you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you." In your notes, I've given you a whole bunch of choices. Habits are a choice. Reactions are a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. Reputation is a choice. Obedience is a choice. Love is a choice. Commitment is a choice. Mark Hacks said, "When you have three choices in life, give up, give in, or give it all you've got." Search the scriptures, my friend, and see how many people were faced with a choice. Let me just kind of remind you of a few. Adam and Eve had a choice, and they made a choice to sin. Noah made a choice to build an ark. Lot's wife made a choice, and she became a salt lick. Some of you will get that about Tuesday, but that's okay. Peter made a choice to walk on water. Zacchaeus made a choice to go up in a tree so he could see Jesus. And Joshua made a choice. Read this with me in your notes. Joshua 24, he's standing before the people of Israel. He said, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods of your ancestors serving beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." When you are facing or experiencing trials or suffering, make the right choices. Lean into the Father's hand. Don't ask him to necessarily change your circumstances, but ask him to help change you. Young people today, you can learn early in life that your choices have consequences. Choose those choices wisely, whether you're young or old. You see, you can make a choice to grow and to learn. Which leads me to my second point this morning, and that's you need to acquaint yourself with the purpose of pain. Not like the man who told the doctor that he had a pain. The doctor asked him, "So when do you get this pain?" And the man replied, "When I put up my arm over my shoulder, doc, that's when I get this pain." The doc said, "Well, then don't do it." Well, that's not very helpful. Here's what I've learned. When you have pain, you have to discover what is the cause of the pain. Everyone on earth has experienced pain. How many of you have experienced bad experiences in your life? Put up your hand. Here's what I know about bad experiences. Everybody has them. Nobody likes them. And very few people make bad experiences positive experiences in their life. Warren Lester said, success in life comes not from holding a good hand, but in playing a poor hand well. Just as in a physical body, when there's pain in your physical body, it's telling you something is wrong, so pain in your life is telling you that something is wrong. I'm a firm believer that everything I have in my life is the result of the choices and the decisions that I've made up until this point. If you and I are going to be able to move from surviving to thriving, when we start to focus on discovering the purpose of pain in our life, we can make the switch. In my first message, I explained that when we are faced with pain, our automatic reaction is to ask why. How many of you, when you're faced with pain, you've asked why? How many of you have heard an answer? None. Neither have I. You see, healing will come when we ask a different question. You have to move from why to what. What am I supposed to learn from this experience? Actually, go one step deeper and ask the question, what am I to become as a result of this experience? Could it be that there actually is a blessing in a painful situation in our lives or a painful season in our lives? C.S. Lewis writes, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I don't know about you, but when I know the why behind an action, if I do ever figure it out, it helps me to surrender to the trial just a little bit easier. It doesn't mean that I fully understand. I just need to know that I'm doing the right thing, even though I may not know everything about it. Trusting God is the right thing to do in the midst of trials. Understand that there is a purpose in our trials is helpful to enable us to carry on even when the pain is still sharp. Look at what the writer of James says about this in James chapter 1. Look at it in your notes. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Underline when troubles come. We live in a world where trouble raises its ugly head all the time. James doesn't say if trouble comes, but when trouble comes. But Bob, I'm trouble-free right now, so I'm good. Just wait. Now turn to your neighbor and say, trouble's coming. Now turn back to them and say, and that's my gift to you. Listen to the next sentence. It's a powerful one. Trouble comes to introduce you to the choice of joy. One translation says, consider it pure joy. Do you hear that? Do you hear that it's a choice to choose joy? I believe that's one of the ways that we as believers are separated from those in the world when we go through trials and problems. You see, everybody in the city of Fort Saskatchewan is facing difficulties. Everybody in this auditorium is facing difficulties. The issue is not what your problem is. The issue is, are you choosing to live a certain way as you go through those problems? You see, Christians, we have faith and hope in our Savior. Unbelievers don't have that hope, and that's why they're fearful. We ought to be fearless, knowing that there is a purpose for our trials. Go back to the verse for a moment, to a new verse. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. In order for endurance muscle to grow, your faith must be worked, it must be challenged, it must be stretched, it must be used. Stop praying for God to stop sending you difficulties. He already knows your limits. 2 Corinthians says that he won't give you anything beyond what you can endure. Start praying for wisdom to learn what you need to learn about trusting and surrendering to his gentle work in your becoming. Jewish proverb says, I ask not for a lighter burden, but for broader shoulders. You see, what you need to do is you need to see the bigger picture. Understand that there is a plan that God is orchestrating. Understand that God is sovereign. You see, one of the things that I know as I began to work through this stuff in my life was that anything, because I learned this from the book of Job, anything that comes to me has to come through the hand of the Father first. He has to give it permission. Now, does he send it? No, he allows it. He allows it to come into our lives because he knows that when he allows it to come in our lives, it's a test. It's an opportunity for us to be able to fully trust in him. But I got to see the bigger picture. And when I'm in pain, all I see is my picture. I'm the big deal. Rather than looking back and going, what is God doing here? Let me kind of review for you a moment. Healing is a choice you make. Equate yourself with the purpose of pain. And thirdly, navigate through the process of pain. When I was going through the dredges of pain, I would lean into God's word to find any help, any hope, any promise to hold on to. And one day when I was sitting in my thinking chair, I wrote down in my journal the word hope. And just as I'd finished writing the last letter E, it was almost like God said to me, Bob, hope is this, hold on, pain ends. And I remember screaming out to God, but I want the pain to stop now. Now, I know that's just me. It's never you. But that's how I felt. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mom was tucking her small boy in bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? This mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. I can't, dear, she said. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. A long silence was broken by this little shaky voice again and said, the little sissy. Your perspective on your situation is what is most important. Will you consider with me the next passage in your notes from the book of James? And will you put a 1 in front of that too? Because when I copied it over, it took out the 1. This is verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Last August, I was in Orlando, Florida with the John Maxwell team again. And I was part of the first group who met in 2011, and I learned so much, and these people meant so much to me. But last August when I was there, within the first 2 days of being at the conference, 3 people came up to me who were with me in 2011, and all separately but virtually said the very same thing. And they said this, Bob, I'm so excited to see you so happy and alive. I remember how broken you were the first time I met you. Well, by the 3rd time that person came to me, I stopped her and I asked her what she really meant. And she said to me, the first training you stood before me so busted and broken, you had tears flowing down your cheeks as you told me your story. But today, 4 years later, I can hardly recognize you. Hear this, she said. I'm so proud of all the work that you have done. I didn't even know the amount that God had changed in my life. You see, to navigate the pain, a process of pain, you have to be patient and you have to be persistent. And as I've said to several people who've walked down a similar road to mine in their deep pain, I've said to them at the beginning, my prayer was this, God, just get me through the next 3 hours. You see, when you are in the midst of a battle, just start with small steps, trusting God. Start with, God, just get me through the next 3 hours. And then move to, God, just get me through this morning. And then move to, God, just get me through this evening. And then move, God, just get me through the day. And then, God, just get me through the week. And God, just get me through the weekend. And then, you move, God, just get me through a month. And as you begin to see God be faithful and grow and surrender and allow the Spirit to do the work in your life, bit by bit, you can trust him more. Heed the words of the great leader, Sir Winston Churchill's, when he said, never, never, never give up. Sadly, one of the traits that I see in the church today is that people give up so easily. Now hear my heart on this. Rather than hanging in there and be patient and tarry on, they bail. And what disturbs me greatly is when we know that we have an infinite, all-powerful God with an infinite, all-powerful Holy Spirit residing in our hearts and seeking to empower us to grow and to stretch and to learn and to become more like Christ. Why don't we trust God to be God and have the guts to hang in there long enough to see God turn our mourning into dancing? Why do we bail out when we have all the resources to buckle up and partner with God to accomplish his will in and through us? You see, what we need is persistent fortitude. Persistence is a lost discipline in our world today. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, what lies behind you and what lies in front of you pales in comparison to what lies inside of you. It's not about being self-sufficient. It's about understanding that we have access to the Creator, the one who made you fearfully and wonderfully. God did not design you to be a victim. God designed you. Your DNA is set to be a victorious follower of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? What Emerson is saying is when you and I realize the power of the choices we get to make today, there is no limit to the potential of our lives when we tap into the power available to us through God. Yet there are people who walk among us who have no clue how to live life. Listen to this collection of interactions with people. These are funny. That's a clue to let you know you can laugh, just so you know. You okay this morning? While looking at a house, my brother asked the real estate agent which direction was north because he explained he didn't want the sun waking him up every morning. She asked, does the sun rise in the north? When my brother explained that the sun rises in the east and has for some time, she shook her head and said, well, I don't keep up on that stuff. They walk among us. My colleague and I were eating lunch at our cafeteria when we overheard one of the administrative assistants talking about the sunburn she got on the weekend drive to the shore. She drove down in a convertible but didn't think she'd get sunburned because the car was moving. They walk among us. My sister has a life-saving tool in her car. It's designed to cut through a seatbelt if she gets trapped. She keeps it in the trunk. They walk among us. I couldn't find my luggage at the airport baggage area, so I went to the lost luggage office and told the woman that was there that my bags had never showed up. She smiled and told me not to worry because she was a trained professional and that she was in good hands. Now she asked me, has your plane arrived yet? Some of you will get that on Wednesday. They walk among us. You see, hardship in our lives produces an awareness that if God is on my side, if God is on our side, if God is on your side, you have a majority. You don't have to wait for someone to put you in the pool. You can just choose to trust Jesus for your life, for your family, for your future, for your church. Last point, declare victory for today as well as tomorrow. Start today walking in the victory that is yours and that is to come. Don't walk around melancholy. Walk around aware of a melody that if God is for me, who can be against me? If you got your Bible, hold it up. Or if you got your smartphone, that's your Bible, hold it up. Friends, I've read the last book. We win. We win. As Christ followers, we need to be positive. We need to be grateful. We need to be filled with anticipation that one day our pain will end. But Bob, how do I get through today? Well, during the history of Israel, they were led by one of the greatest men, Moses. And 40 years prior to that, he'd led the chosen people around the desert. And when God had given Moses a promise that the people would inherit a land full of milk and honey, remember that he sent 12 men there before, and only two of them came back and said that we could trust God and get there, Joshua and Caleb. And then Moses dies. The leader's gone. What were the people to do? Continue to trust the God, their God. He elevated one of the two of them to be the next leader, Joshua. And then God says to him, Joshua 1 verse 9, this is my commandment. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, hear these words this morning. Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged. Why be strong? Why be courageous? Why not be afraid? Why not be discouraged? Listen to the words that God spoke to Joshua before millions of people who were looking for leadership, for hope, stability, comfort, strength, and courage. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Just as God was with Joshua, he's with you and with me today. Just as God was with everyone who claims to be his child, he is with you today. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Do I want to trust him? Now close your notes and look up here for just a few moments and we'll wrap this up. You may be thinking this morning, well, that's all good, Bob, but you don't know my story. And you're right, I don't. But Bob, if you knew my story, you wouldn't be expecting God to help me thrive. I mean, look at who I am. Look at what I've done. God's not interested in me. If that's how you feel, can I take scripture in a couple of minutes just to answer that? How many of you know the story of Adam and Eve? This past week, I visited this story again, and I saw something so insightful that may speak to you today. Remember that young pair made a choice to eat the fruit of the tree, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked and that they had disobeyed God? Remember what they did? They hid. And later, we read that God came back into the garden to be with them, and they hid from him due to sin. By the way, friends, sin makes you hide. God came looking for them. Did you catch that? God is here this morning. Not to blow up at you, but to welcome you into his arms. Not to say how sinful you are, but he comes looking for you to tell him, to tell you how much he loves you. You don't have to just survive as if God is absent in your world. You and I can choose to thrive because God is here, and he is in you, and he is in me. God is with you. And God has his hand stretched out to you simply saying, I love you, my child. Trust me to give you life. Life that's abundant. Will you pray with me?